All right. He was like, bro, it's like this. It's not thumbs down. We're good? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We're good?
Yeah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana zidna 'ilman ya karim. Welcome back inshallah. Today inshallah we're going to start our class in the kitab of Shama'il, or the summary of Shama'il inshallah, as we had agreed before. While you're opening the books, if one person from the sisters and one person from the brothers pick up all the plastic and toss it in the garbage right now, so it just saves us time and we don't have garbage around. So open your books, and one person just gather. Maryam, can you gather all the garbage, please? All the plastic? And the people on Instagram, if you can just give me a mic check, if you can hear. I'm not sure. We have a new system, so if you have a mic. Huh? Somebody noticed my hair. That's great. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you can do a mic check. Is it working? Yeah, so we're doing work. It's work. Okay. So the way we're going to do this, inshallah, I will start off the class by giving some introduction, inshallah. So this book that you have in front of you, this book has been written by Abdul Hayy Al-Kattani. He's a scholar who died in the 1900s, well-renowned scholar. What he did is, there's a classical text. There's a classical text on the Shama'il of Prophet ﷺ. It's called Shama'il At-Tirmidhi. That text was written some 200 Hijri or 297 Hijri, something like that. And Imam Tirmizi was the one who wrote that text. So Imam Tirmizi wrote that text, Shama'il At-Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmizi passed away in 297 Hijri. And he is one of the six main hadith scholars that we have. Okay, the Siha Sitta, the six books of hadith. He is one of the six main scholars of our hadith books. Grab a couple of books, girls, and open. Huh? What page are we on? We are not on any page yet. But we will start from page 20 anyways, if we start. Okay? So Imam Tirmidhi wrote a book. It's a very big book. So Imam Kattani came and he said, okay, you know what? In the 1900s, he died in 1932, I believe. Imam Kattani, he died in 1932. He died in France. So he came around and he said, you know what? Nobody's going to read this. The book is too tall, too long. It just takes forever for people. So why don't I create a summary of it? So what he did is he summarized all the Shama'il, all the internal and external characteristics of Prophet ﷺ in a small text. Here's the amazing part about this book. You can also get it on Audible. So if you are an auditory learner, or if you want to listen to it on a double speed, you can listen to the entire book in 1 hour. Like, I was on a flight, I put it on Audible, and I just listened to the entire thing in 1 hour. Okay, on double speed. If you don't want to do double speed, then in 2 hours, you can listen to this. Okay. So this is the book we're going to read. We are going to follow the traditional way of reading classical texts. The traditional way is that somebody's going to read the Arabic, somebody is going to read the English, okay? I'm going to pick random people to read the English, and we're going to have Husna, she is going to read the Arabic for us. Kapishun? Okay, kapish, kapish. Any questions? Jamil. Open the book, girls, let's go. Okay, Husna, can you, or not Husna, can one of the girls read, let's read the introduction. I think it's important. Let's read the introduction. Who's going to read me the introduction out loud? You want to read? No? Anybody else? Yeah, introduction, page 13 in English. Do you want to read it aloud?
Sure, the full page.
Huh?
The full page or
the whole thing. It's only two pages. Abdullah, do you want to give her a mic so that people online can hear? You have two mics. May as well use them today. Intellect, Director Saab. Become director. How are you going to make a Hollywood movie like this? I know you're not. No, just the YouTube one. Okay. You can clip it on your shirt. It's a clip.
I'll just hold it. But
hold it. That's fine. All right. Let's go.
The hallmark of true love for Allah Most High.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Okay, start.
The hallmark of true love for Allah Most High is obedience to His Messenger. May Allah's blessings and peace be upon him. Mm-hmm. It is unwavering devotion to His blessed personage which compels an ardent lover to closely observe his noble mannerism and character in every aspect of life, transporting lovers of Allah's Messenger to the highest planes of proximity to Allah. Mm-hmm. As this love deepens in intensity, thoughts of the Messenger are infused into every heartbeat, and a person becomes restless to see his blessed countenance. As Allah's Messenger said, "Among those of my nation who are most intense in their love for me are a people who will come after me, who would give their family and their wealth in exchange for seeing me." Mm. For such lovers, there is no greater solace than studying work dedicated to Allah's Messenger. In particular, those focusing on his characteristics and physical description. Mm-hmm. Numerous scholars throughout the centuries considered it a privilege to be able to put pen to paper in this regard. Perhaps the most acclaimed of these works is Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, mm-hmm, of the great hadith master Imam Abu Isa
al-Tirmidhi.
Al-Tirmidhi.
This is the scholar that I talked about, Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi. He was one of the six most famous scholars that we have. Imam Tirmidhi used to have a phenomenal, phenomenal memory. One of the stories that is mentioned about Imam Tirmidhi, for example, is that he came to Mecca. And he was looking forward to meeting this one scholar who would give him some hadith. And he had a book in which all those hadith were written. But back in the day, books were not like this. They were all like leather-bound journals. So he picked up one of the books and he ended up coming to the sheikh. And he said, "I want to learn these hadith from you." He's like, "Okay, open your book and read." And he opens and he accidentally brought a blank journal. Not the one in which he had written all those 100 hadiths. So he tells the sheikh, "Try me, I have a really good memory. Give me 100 hadiths with its all chains and narrations and I will repeat them to you." So the teacher, he narrated 100 hadiths. So, an fulan, ibn fulan, ibn fulan, you know, narrated by this person, this person, this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this, hadith number one, hadith number two, 99, 100. Then Imam Tirmidhi, he repeated all of those 100 hadiths in the exact same order with all the narrators' names and text. So the sheikh was like, "You're just like trying to, you know, make yourself look so smart. You probably memorized them and you're faking it." He said, "Okay, give me 50 more that nobody else has heard and you know them. And I will repeat them to you." So this was Imam Tirmidhi. Like, this is the level that he had, right? He could just memorize things like that. Okay? So this is one of the very profound hadith scholars of our time, Imam Tirmidhi. Go ahead, read. And his text is Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. This is the summarized version of the famous text, Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. Go ahead, read alongside.
Alongside the many works which serve as a commentary to or are based upon this masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Mulla Ali Qari, one of the commentators of Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, says, One who studies this book is in effect observing the countenance of this blessed personage and seeing his noble excellent aspect. Mm-hmm. It is for this reason that the hadith master of his era, Muhaddith al-Asr, Sheikh al-Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, who also wrote an extensive Urdu commentary on to Ash-Shama'il, would exhort his associates and students to read it. In a letter to one of his students, he writes, "Add Shama'il al-Tirmidhi to your daily reading after Zuhr prayers. It is better if you can obtain Khasa'il, his own Urdu commentary. Otherwise, read the original Arabic. Do not read it in a cursory manner, but rather carefully read each word of the hadith. Translate it and contemplate whether or not each particular quality is present in you."
Beautiful. So as we are going to read about these characteristics of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the etiquette and the adab that, you know, Zakariya al-Ansari is mentioning over here, as well as what we should display, is that I'm trying to see if any of these characteristics can be found in me. Now, obviously, the physical traits and characteristics of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you cannot say, you know, I need to have, this type of a hair, and this is, Allah has given you whatever you have. It's the internal characteristics of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you're going to be looking for. His gentleness, his kindness, the way he would look, the way he would walk, all of those things that are something that we're going to be looking for. Carry on.
"If not, resolve to create it within yourself, if Allah wills.
Beautiful.
With the same spirit of encouraging the followers of Allah's Messenger to reconnect with his radiant personage, Durath Publishing is presenting before readers a summary of Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, a much-needed work in an age where focus is continually shifting away from the prophetic exemplar and others are occupying a space in the heart which only the Prophet deserved."
Beautiful. So he talks about something very important here, that in each one of our hearts, when we say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, there was a plant, small seedling, that has been planted. And that plant is of two types. One is the plant of the love of Prophet ﷺ, and the second is the plant for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Now, what is happening to many of us is our hearts, they occupy loves that are other than these two loves, such as Ronaldo versus Messi. Right? Hate or love. Now, whatever you believe, right? Both of them suck anyways. Right? That's my belief. Right? The best soccer player was Maradona. Nobody comes close to him. But in any case, you know, all the but what happens? Our heart gets filled with someone other than Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So there was that place was not supposed to occupy any other love other than the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But now our love is being occupied. We are occupying it with loves of every other type of thing out there. Every other type of person, every other thing. We're occupying all those loves. And then what happens? The result is a messed up human being. Right? Imagine if your car today, right? You decide, you know what? I think petrol or benzene or gas is becoming too expensive. I'm going to just go buy some olive oil from Costco and put it in my car. At the end of the day, it's, you know, it'll do the job. What's going to happen to your car? What's going to happen? Is it going to start?
No.
Absolutely not. Why? Because we have occupied the fuel tank with something it was not supposed to. So the engine was not supposed to operate with the olive oil. It was supposed to operate, even if you put diesel in a car that is supposed to run on gasoline, what's going to happen? It gets, the entire engine gets destroyed in what? In 1 second. You start the car, the engine cracks up. You'll see cracks in your engine. You can't repair, it's permanently damaged. Similarly, all other loves, if we occupy a love for individuals other than the love of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we harm ourselves. And that heart was not supposed to hold any other love other than that love. Cool? Now, I don't like certain things, but I'm going to do something. I can see that the energy in the room is dead. I see people going like, yeah, I love Rasulullah. Right? So I want everybody to please get up, because I want energy in the room. Please stand up. We are not making a choo-choo train today. Alhamdulillah. Everybody get up. Okay, I don't think we've done this. So if you, I want you to introduce yourself to somebody you do not know in the room, brothers with brothers and sisters with sisters, and introduce yourselves with two individuals. And when I point at you, you're going to tell me something interesting about the two individuals that you introduce yourselves to. All right, go look for two individuals. Something new that you did not know. I closed it. Huh?
Abdullah, just give it back. Wait, is it off?
She needs the mic back. Okay.
Bismillah.
You guys can sit down. She needs the mic back.
Yeah.
Wait.
Mariam, give it back to him. The mic. All right. So while he fixed the mic, introductions. Tell me the two new people you met. Okay.
So I met her, and
she, what's her name?
And I didn't catch it. I think it was Muslima. And she likes, and I don't.
Okay.
Know, I know everyone else.
Wow. Mashallah. Huh?
My mom.
Okay. Your turn. Yes. You don't know her? You guys came in the same car, didn't you? Didn't you? You guys came in the same car, right? So you sat in the car not knowing anyone, and you just sat there, you're like, I have a human next to me. I'm just not going to know him. So what's her name?
Do you want my name first?
Yeah.
My name is Aisha, and I have Muslima, and she likes to read.
She likes to read, okay.
Everybody knows everyone there in the back.
Okay.
Okay, so tell me.
I met Maya.
Okay.
And she likes to play basketball.
She likes to play basketball. And she's a 3-point shooter. Okay, two of the guys. Pick up two guys. Put it back in the thing and it'll.
This one's linked. This one's not linking.
Put it back in the box and it'll resign. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, we're good. If the people online, they can just tell us if they're able to hear on YouTube. That would be good. Otherwise, I'll just read. Or I can just...
Otherwise, I'll just read.
That's working.
Or I can just... Otherwise, I'll just read.
There we go. It's working. Okay, so coming back. So the work... Mullah Muhammad Zakaria Al-Ansari, he says to his students that you should add Shama'il al-Tirmizi to your daily readings after Zuhur prayer. It is better for you to obtain Khasa'il, which is his own commentary. Otherwise, read the original Arabic. Do not read it in a, you know, cursory manner. Just don't read, just running, just read it just because you're reading a book in English. It has sacredness in it because it is the descriptions of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can grab a book if you want. You have it? Okay. Beautiful. Don't read it in a cursory manner, but rather carefully read each word of hadith, translate it, and contemplate whether or not each particular quality is present in you. If not, resolve to create it within yourself by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah wills. Okay? With the same spirit of encouraging the followers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's messenger, to reconnect with his radiant personage, Turath Publishing is presenting before you Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, the summary of it, a much-needed work in an age where focus is continually shifting away from the prophetic exemplar and others, i.e. other things, are occupying a space in the heart which only Prophet ﷺ deserved in the first place. Okay, this work is primarily a translation of Muniyat As-Sa'il, which is the translation written by a scholar by the name of Sheikh Abdul Hayy ibn Abdul Kabir Al-Kattani, who died in 1382 Hijri. And basically it is the synopsis. He wrote it as a synopsis or a summary of Shama'il al-Tirmizi. I'm going to skip a bit. We're going to come down. As the objective was to produce a work which directly correlates to Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, the following changes have been made in the translation. Okay? So, for example, any additional commentary that was made by Sheikh Kattani, he has removed it. On occasions, Sheikh Kattani only mentions one possible interpretation of the hadith. We have elaborated it further. Where it was felt appropriate, hadith in the original Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, which Sheikh Kattani had omitted. For example, there were times where Sheikh Kattani removed the hadith. The translator added the hadith because it was necessary for us to know that hadith. And some chapter headings have been changed too. Number 5, brief footnotes have been added where necessary. Number 6, the lengthy hadith of Zar was added in the chapter of Night Talk. So they've moved one hadith in a different chapter. And hadith numbers have been added at the end of the hadith. So they, you know, every hadith, they have a number, they've added those. Okay? Now, who's going to read the chapter about this one page about Imam Tirmidhi? Somebody from the guys. You want to read it, Hassan?
Yeah.
All right, loud.
All right. Yes. One of the greatest names in science of hadith, Imam Abu Isa Muhammad ibn Isa ibn Sawra al-Tirmidhi, was born in 210 Hijri in Tirmiz, a small city in South Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
He traveled far and wide in the pursuit of the prophetic hadiths and narrations of Imams Bukhari, Muslim, and Dawud, Qutayba ibn al-Sa'id, and Muhammad ibn al-Bashar, among others. Many great hadith scholars also benefited from him and were honored to be among his students.
Mm-hmm.
He was renowned for his piety, abstinence, and remarkable memory. His lofty status can be gauged from the accolade of his own teacher, Ibn Bukhari, who said to him, "The benefit I have taken from you is more than what you have been benefited from me." Among his famous works are Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya and
Al-Jami' al-Kabir. Mm-hmm.
One of the 6 major hadith collections, more commonly known as Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Isa al-Tirmidhi, passed away in 297 Hijri, leaving behind a great legacy of students and unmatched works.
Beautiful. شيخ محمد عبد الحي الكتاني.
شيخ محمد عبد الحي الكتاني was born in 1302 Hijri in Fez, Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
He received his early education in by his illustrious father, Sheikh
Abdul Kabir al Kattani,
and his brother, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Kabir,
ibn Abdul Kabir.
Ibn Abdul Kabir, before moving on to study under great scholars at the renowned Institute of
Qayrawin.
His thirst for his knowledge inspired him to travel across the different cities of Morocco and beyond to Egypt and Syria, where he benefited from the knowledge of many scholars.
Mm-hmm.
He also benefited immensely from scholars who had come from the Hajj during his travel to the
Haramain.
His extensive travels also allowed for many students to benefit from him. Likewise, in his imparted his knowledge whether he traveled, wherever he traveled. Towards the end of his life, Sheikh Muhammad al-Hayy experienced a number of difficulties from the authorities in Morocco, who ordered for all his property to be seized, which included his unique library comprising thousands of her books and manuscripts.
So towards the end of early 19th century, there was this movement that was going around in Arab countries, which was to secularize the Muslim lands. So today, the secularization of Syria, which you saw in Lebanon, where people were so far away, that was not a haphazard coincidence. The colonizers, as they withdrew from France, as France withdrew from Morocco, as British forces withdrew from different parts, they ensured that people do not rely on Islam. Right? So during those difficult times, if you grew a beard, you would be thrown into prison. Yeah, this is like in Muslim countries. You were okay, you could, grow a beard in America, but if you grew a beard in Egypt, they will come after you, the secret services, and they'll put you in a prison. Up until up to 1980s, mid-80s, around the 1990s, the narrative started shifting, and it became easier for people to actually, have practices of Islam outwardly public. I know one of my teachers was from Morocco. He said when he was growing up, if you would go for Fajr prayer in Morocco, right, they had secret services that were waiting with their cars, taking the name and, making sure which house you're coming from. Oh, that house, this is this young guy. He comes to Fajr. Okay, we got to keep an eye on him. He's becoming religious. Okay? So what you're seeing over here, Sheikh Abdul Hayy al-Kattani, same thing happened to him. That towards, in the early 1900s, they started, forcing atheism, forcing perennialism and all the other forms so that people don't get close to Islam. So that's what happened to him, right? And his library was confiscated and he moved to? Go ahead. Yeah.
He moved to Nice, France, where he passed away.
In 1382. Okay. All right. Bismillah. Husna, do you want to read? Page 20. Of the Khulasa. Husna is going to read. Do you want to read the Arabic and English together? Or you want to read the Arabic and you want me to do the English? Do both, okay? Is the mic working or not? The other mic. Why did you give up on the mic?
Because I need to disconnect
that. Why did you give up on the mic? You just... Astaghfirullah. A'udhu billah. Don't give up on the mic. Have a big heart. Sorry, I'm being harsh on Abdullah. Otherwise, people can't hear her.
I'm going to try one last time.
Oh, Abdullah is trying one last time. Ya Allah. Okay, so we're going to read the Arabic part. Guys that are online, we're just trying to figure out a way to get the mic. The second mic to work. What happened? Oh, you need my mic again? Oh my God. Sorry, guys. Mic problems.
on the class. Is that good? We'll take a break for a moment. Those of you that need prayer mats, there are some for the guys. We'll go outside while the love prayer is in sound. Okay, people in.
6:45. What if we started at 7:30? Okay? Because then it doesn't disrupt us. Then we can go from 7:30 to 9 o'clock. What do you guys feel?
A bit late.
Bit late?
Yeah.
You sleep at 9?
I do, actually.
Okay, wow.
Well,
okay,
I do my cool homework after 9.
They're kids. They need their bedtime. Yeah, because we're going to have to swap it anyways in 2 weeks when the time changes, or in 3 weeks when the time changes, because Isha is going to be at 7:30. So anyhow, I'll send an email to the parents to see what they want to do. Or we start early. We start like at 6, which I'm okay with. Huh? No? Okay, we'll see. All right, let's now start. Bismillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. We're back, inshallah, after the salah break. People that are online, welcome back. People that are in person.
Working?
Your mic is working, yes.
Okay.
Bismillah.
Okay, bismillah.
It's fine. It'll pick it up. Don't worry.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. An Anas bin Malik, annahu sami'a yaqul, kana rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa bil-tawi' al-ba'in, ولا بالقصير ولا بالأبيض الأمهق ولا بالآدم ولا بالجعد القطط ولا بالسبط. بعثه الله تعالى على رأس 40 سنة، فأقام بمكة 10 سنين وبالمدينة 10 سنين، وتوفاه الله على رأس 60 سنة، وليس في رأسه ولحيته 20 شعرة بيضاء.
Okay. Yep. Read the English.
On the authority of Sayyiduna Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who was heard to say, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was neither very tall nor short,
mm-hmm.
neither was he pale, white, nor dark. He did not have very curly nor very straight hair.
Mm-hmm.
Allah sent him as a prophet at the age of 40. He stayed in Mecca for 10 years and in Medina for 10 years. Allah took him at the age of 60, when there were barely 20 white hairs in his head and beard.
Beautiful. So, few things about this hadith. So number one, it talks about the height of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Most of the descriptions that you're going to find about the height of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will tell you that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was neither tall nor short. Okay? Which means what? He was somewhere between a medium height person. You're going to read further that he leaned towards the taller side, not towards the shorter side. But one of the miracles of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that whenever he would sit by himself and the people around him were similar heights, he would be taller. But obviously there were people that were really tall in his time, like Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali. He was really tall, right? Jarir ibn Abdullah, he was so tall that if he was to ride a horse, he was able to take his legs and he would cross the legs on the belly of the horse and lock them. That's how long legs he had, right? So, and Umar radiallahu anhu used to be so tall that when he would sit on the horse, if he extended his legs, he was able to create marks on the ground as the horse walked. So obviously when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sit with somebody taller than him, the miracle is that if you were to look at him, you would seem like he's the tallest. He wouldn't like physically grow. But the perception for the observer was that he was the taller. Kind of like how many of you have been to Medina? Okay, right? When you go to Medina, anybody remember seeing the Masjid Nabawi? Okay. What is the most prominent thing that we think of when we say Medina? The Masjid Nabawi, the Green Dome. Is that the tallest structure? No. But when you're there, aren't you gravitated towards that structure? Your entire, although there are pillars and there are minars that are way taller than that. But when you're there, you're physically gravitated towards the dome. Right? And that's some of the scholars, they talk about this. That this is also one of his mu'jizat. This is one of the miracles that is mentioned in Yusuf al-Nabhani's book, Al-Wasail al-Wusul. He says that one of the miracles of Prophet ﷺ is that, you know, the dome upon the grave, and the dome upon which the dome on top of his grave, that dome itself seems taller than everything around that is actually taller to the perceived eye. Okay, so that is one of the miracles of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, yes.
Okay.
So it says that he did not have curly hair or long hair. So obviously, the description of his hair, that his hair used to be wavy. Okay, they were not extremely curly. They were not extremely lank, flat. They were wavy in its nature. And Rasulullah ﷺ, he at the age of 40, he received the revelation and he stayed in Mecca for 10. This is a roundup. The Arabs in general, you know, they would round down, round up generally. This so they would not get too defined details. No, it's 63. That's why you're going to say 10 and 10. Right? It's actually 13, but it's like, you know, almost 10. Right? 10, like 13, yeah, but so it's almost 10. Similarly, 63, the age of Prophet's death is confirmed 63, but they rounded it. They said, Ala Sitti, and he was 60. Khalas, he died at 60. They round up or round down, depending on the thing. And obviously, he talks about his beard. He had 20, barely 20 white hairs. There's numerous description about that. Carry on.
يقول سيدنا أنس وغيره من الوصافين إن سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كان مربوع القد ليس بالطويل ولا بالقصير لكنه كان مائلا إلى الطول ما لم يماشي ويجالس الطوال إلا طالهم حسا. Our master Anas رضي الله عنه and others who described him say that he was of medium height, neither tall nor short.
Mm-hmm.
Should I continue to read the Arabic?
Yeah, yeah. So obviously I've already described this part.
Okay.
Right. His okay. complexion. وكان لونه
وكان لونه العظيم كلون العرب العرب الممدوح
ممدوح
أبيض أبيض بياضا يميل إلى الحمرة وكان شعره الكريم لا كشعر السودان في الحروشة ولا كشعر العجمي في الليونة والانطلاق بل كأنه مشط فتكسر بعثه الله أي بعثا ثانويا ظهرت به رسالة العامة وهو ابن 40 سنة.
Okay, read.
His complexion was the color which is praised by the Arabs, white inclining to redness. Mm-hmm. His noble hair was neither curly like the hair of Africans, nor lank and soft like the hair of Persians.
Allah sent him?
Allah sent him as a prophet when he was 40. He stayed in Mecca for 10 years and then the same, and indeed more in Medina. Allah made him die at the age of 60, if we round down. Otherwise, it is established that he died when he was 63. May my soul be his ransom. And there was not a single white hair in his noble head and beard, not counting what was in the hair below his lip and temples.
Okay. All right. So basically, how do you reconcile between 20 hair? So there, when his hair were, the white hair were over here on the temples and right above over here at this area. His beard, it did not have, like, so the hair was coming out from here and from the temples. Those were the visible hairs. The rest of the place was all black. And 20 hair are not a lot of white. Like, if you look at it from far, you would just look like somebody who's young. Okay? Go ahead.
وَكَانَ بَعِيدًا مَا بَيْنَ الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ أَيْ عَرِيضٌ أَعْلَى الظَّهْرِ رَحِيبُ الصَّدْرِ حَسْنُ الْجِسْمِ نُعُومَةٌ
وَكَانَ بَعِيدًا الْمَنْكِبَيْنِ
أَيْ عَرِيضٌ أَعْلَى الظَّهْرِ رحيب الصدر حسن الجسم حسن الجسمي نعومة واعتدال.
It's not رحيب, it's رهب الصدر.
This is رحيب.
رحيب, okay, yeah. رحيب الصدر, go ahead.
حسن الجسمي نعومة واعتدال في الطول واللحم. So he was broad-shouldered, i.e. wide at the upper part of the back and had a broad chest. He had a handsome soft body and was balanced in both height and build.
And he had
ممتلئ الكفين لحما كالقدمين عظيم الرأس ورؤوس العظام نحو المنكبين والركبتين. So he had fully fleshed palms and feet. He had a large head and large joints such as the shoulders and knees.
Okay, let me explain these things. So Prophet ﷺ, he says, then Imam Tirmidhi in over here, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about the description of Prophet ﷺ, that he was broad-shouldered, wide in the upper part of the back, and he had a broad chest. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, this having a broad chest was considered like a trait of karam, generosity in general within the Arabs. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was quite wide. Actually, the wives of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have described his stomach torso. I talked about this last time, right? As crushed paper. So if you crush a paper and then you unpack the paper, right? What do you see on the paper?
Lines.
Wrinkles. So what is she alluding to about the torso of Prophet ﷺ? That he was very muscular in its nature. So he was like, he was fine in terms of his, you know, body fat and lean mass. He was more lean and muscular in its nature, not very heavily built. But in general, his shoulders were wide, his chest was broad, right? And he had a handsome, soft body, balanced in both height and build. So it was not, you know, sometimes you see bodybuilders with like these bulky hands, like how do you enter like the elevator? You go like this, right? Like, you know, you have these like bulky things. So they're like disproportionate, or people with like giant legs and like a skinny torso. So he was really balanced in his build. His hands were fully fleshed palm and feet. So this talks about his hands, and there are going to be multiple descriptions that you're going to come across in his hands. I'll describe it once, so as we read, you don't have to go into further details. So it talks about the hands of Prophet ﷺ, that his hands were extremely soft. But then in other places, it talks about that he had, you know, really thick and sturdy hands. So what the ulama, they describe about this, is they said that the hands, the miracle of his hand was that whenever he would be in warfare in battle, when he would grab a sword or a shield or an armor or a weapon, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would muscularize his hand, like it would become tough. So any of the sahabi that saw Rasulullah during that time, they said he had fully fleshed, like, you know, they're not lanky hands, like, you know, skinny with like bones showing. It was like, you know, when you looked at it, you're like, man, that's some, you know, have you ever shaken hands with someone and they're like, with me? Oh, Ajib, this guy's like, yeah. When you shake hands with someone, you feel like, oh, wow, this guy's got a big hand. Right? You feel like, I don't want to get into a fight with this person, okay? But sometimes you shake hands and you're like, what happened? Brother, you didn't get any milk when you were growing up or something? Like, you know, like, what happened to your protein intake, right? So sometimes you feel that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person said, I never touched any, like when I touched the hands of Prophet ﷺ, they were so soft, I had never touched any silk that were softer than the hands of Prophet ﷺ. Yet at the time of battle, they would become the strongest hands. Okay, so these descriptions, you're going to get multiple descriptions, understand them with this context. Okay, go ahead, read.
Okay.
He had...
له شعر من صدره إلى سرته الكريمة موصول كالخط. He had hair which ran from his chest to his noble navel like a fine line.
Beautiful. So his body in general did not have hair, and he had a thin line of hair, masculine hair, that would go down all the way to the navel. From the middle of the chest, a thin line of hair that would go down all the way. The rest of it, you know, Prophet ﷺ did not have any hair on. Okay. Go ahead.
لم ير قبله ولا بعده مثله في كل شيء ليس بمن فتح الوجه بل مدور.
لم ير قبله ولا بعده مثله في كل شيء ليس
بمن فتح
بمنفتح الوجه.
منفتح الوجه بمنفتح الوجه بل مدور.
So he was not.
He
long, he was very round-faced, right? Read it in English.
His like has not been seen before or after him in any aspect. He did not have a wide face, but it was somewhat round.
Beautiful. So these type of statements that I have never seen somebody like him before. Nobody has ever been born. You know, أَوَ أَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَقَتْتُ عَيْنِي. Nobody, no eyes have laid eyes on something more beautiful than the existence of Prophet ﷺ. All of these types of descriptions are there to allude to you and me and the reader to understand that it is part of our belief that Prophet ﷺ, he was the most beautiful in every aspect. No Nabi, no Prophet had surpassed him in the beauty. He was the pinnacle of excellence, beauty in every aspect. And to believe, for you and I to believe opposite of that, is actually not perfection of our iman. We must believe that he was the most beautiful, as we know from the numerous narrations. So these type of narrations that he was the best, I had never seen somebody more beautiful than him, are to exaggerate the point that there has never been anyone that has ever lived that was as beautiful as Prophet ﷺ. Yes. Beautiful question. Was it Yusuf alayhi salam? So Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam, the way we know that Yusuf alayhi salam was beautiful is that on the Isra wal Mi'raj, Prophet ﷺ went first sky, second sky, third. I believe on the fourth sky, he meets who? He meets Yusuf alayhi salam. Or on the third sky, I don't remember off the top of my head. So third or fourth sky, he meets Yusuf alayhi salam. Then he comes down and tells the Sahaba about what he saw. So he says, I went to the first sky, and I went to the second sky, I went to the third sky. And then I found Yusuf alayhi salam on the fourth sky or the third sky. And then he says, إِذْ هُوَ أُوْتِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ. And your Yusuf alayhi salam, as if he was given half of the beauty. Half of the beauty. Okay? So to understand this, we must understand that in Arabic language, Shat al-Husn, alif lam, the beauty, this alif lam could come in numerous meanings. Alif lam can come in the meaning of the book, or the camera, or the phone, or the director. It come in multiple meanings, right? Or it can come in Lamul Ahad, which means the last thing. For example, there was a black bag over here. Now you and I, we all go out, right? And I ask you, did you see the black bag? The black bag. Which bag am I talking about? The one that is here. Okay, so this is the last thing you can think of that was black as a bag. What was the most beautiful thing that the Sahabas had seen? Prophet ﷺ. So when he said that statement, and as if he was given half of the beauty, what was the reference of beauty for the Sahaba? Rasulullah ﷺ. They had never seen somebody more beautiful than him. So he was referring to half of his beauty. Okay? Half of his beauty. But that's a really good question. MashaAllah. All right. Carry on, please.
شديد بياض العين وسواد سوادهما وشعر أجنافهما مستطيل لم يعم مشار بدنه الشريف كله بل في الوجه والساقين وذراعين والمنكبين. So the white and black of his eyes were very intense. The hair of his eyelashes was long. He did not have hair over his entire noble body, but only on his face, i.e. his beard. Shins, forearms, and shoulders.
Beautiful. So there are four descriptions that are given about the eyes of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Four descriptions. What are they? Who can tell me?
Like what?
Four descriptions of the eyes of Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Oh, eagle eyes.
Almond.
Oh yeah, almond. No.
Eagle eyes.
Something to do with eagle eyes.
Almond eyed. So almond eyed. So there are four descriptions in all of our books that we're going to read about Prophet ﷺ. You're going to find that there are four descriptions of the eyes of Prophet ﷺ. The first description is the eyes of Prophet ﷺ. Yes.
Long eyelashes.
Long eyelashes. No, that doesn't come. Okay, so kind of
the redness.
Yes, yeah, so I'm going to get to that. Okay, so four descriptions. Number one, the one you see over here. Extreme white eyeballs and extreme black pupils. The contrast between the white and black was extreme. The second, the eyes of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was almond-eyed. The third, that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the tear ducts, these are called tear ducts, the area which is called mu'aq, the tear ducts of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had redness in them. And this is actually a sign of masculinity. Like, you know, a person, when they reach absolute maturity in masculinity, you'll see redness in guys over here. And that's an indication within the Arabs of not if somebody's got, like, you know, an eye problem and their eyes are red, like, my entire eye is red, now I'm fully masculine. That doesn't mean anything. Some of the guys are like, oh, yeah, look at my eyes. They're all red hair. So it's that one natural redness that you find over here. The fourth description is that Prophet ﷺ had natural eyeline. So he was naturally eyelined. He did not need an eyeliner. كان عين النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكحل. So these are all the descriptions that you're going to come across in the text. So you know for your, in the back of your head, you can keep them, inshallah. Read. Bismillah.
إذا التفت بجميع بدنه ولا يلوي عنقه فقط. أحسن الناس قلبا لسلامته من كل رذيلة. أصدق الناس نطقا وألينهم طبيعة.
أصدق الناس
نطقا وألينهم طبيعة وأكرمهم عشرة.
Okay.
So when he turned his entire body. He did not just turn his neck. He was beautiful.
That's an adab. That's a characteristic that we can actually embody. That's the first thing that we actually come across, where we can embody. So when somebody calls you, right? When your teacher calls you and they happen to be on this side or somewhere else, instead of just saying, yeah, what's up? Or when your parents call you, right? Right. He's like, he's going to get there, right? Instead of saying, yo, what do you want? Right? The adab is that you show utmost respect by turning your entire body or showing that you are interested in their conversation. If they are elder than you, they are more senior than you, and you show them that respect by turning to them. Rasulullah ﷺ showed that respect irrespective of the age. So he did that with young people, he did that with older people. So when a young boy came to Prophet ﷺ and somebody brought some milk for him, so the person on the right was a young boy. And obviously he ran and sat and got the spot. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes into the gathering and he's like, okay, I'll sit next to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the left. So he turned completely to that young boy and said, would you give me permission if I gave this milk to Abu Bakr because he's older? And he's like, nope, I'm not going to give you permission for that. Uh-uh. You're not getting any permission. So then Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, why? He said, look, this milk is coming from your hand. Are you, like, serious? You want me to give this to Abu Bakr? Like, no, it's for me. I'm going to get it first. I'm on the right and you have to start from the right. So then Prophet ﷺ turned and gave it to him. And he drank from the milk and then, you know, the milk carried on. Okay? So that tells you that even when there was a young boy, Prophet ﷺ showed him that respect and turned completely. So whenever somebody would call Prophet ﷺ, you wouldn't say, hey, if somebody calls you, don't turn with your neck. He would turn his entire body. Okay? So a point for all of us to take home is that now when somebody calls you, right, consciously try to implement this. That can I physically embody this character? If your parent calls you, can I go close to them and listen to them instead of being on the top floor saying, what do you want? Hey, mom, what do you want? I'm busy right now. I'm trying to kill some people in Tanky Online or whatever game. Okay, go ahead.
He was the most beautiful of people by heart, as it was free of every vice. He was the truest of people in speech, softest in nature, and noblest in company.
Beautiful. So this is a beautiful characteristic that we can embody. He was the most beautiful of people by heart. Have you ever met a person, you're like, man, I don't get good vibes off you. Right? You know, you meet some people, you know when you meet some people, you're like, and then sometimes you will see them, like they could be, and it's so sad, but they could be super religious. But sometimes you're like, no, man, the vibes are off. There's something wrong here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Right? You're sitting there, you're like, you've never met somebody like that? You have, so raise your hands. Raise your hands, good. Right? You've met people like that, right? Vibes are off. But when you would meet Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was the most beautiful from of the people by heart. So when you meet him, you're like, man, I've never met somebody like this. Like you would just be attracted to him. Just by his presence, just by him being there. You'd feel like, subhanAllah, this is like, what kind of person is he? Ajib, right? This is something. One of the beauties of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أحسن الناس قلبا لسلامته. And his heart was free of every vice. What are some of the vices that our heart has? Who can tell me? Manha, what are some of the vices our heart has? You have to tell me. Huh?
Jealousy.
Jealousy. Wow, big vice. That's a really big vice. Jealousy. Some of the guys.
Envy.
Same thing. Close enough. Somebody from the guys. What are some of the vices of heart? Let's go.
Angry?
Anger.
Anger,
okay.
Fear.
Fear, sure. It's not a vice, but it's a good or bad thing. It's a good thing and bad thing. Huh?
Revenge?
Revenge? Revenge, that's part of anger. Yes. Arrogance. Being arrogant. I'm better than you. I'm a better Muslim than you. Ego is arrogance, basically, right? When you have arrogance and ego, what other vices do we have in our hearts? Right? Hypocrisy. Right? I'm one face somewhere else, and I become something somewhere else. Okay? That's why I tell people, you and I, we all should be focused on worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the sake of Allah. When I become a different person for somewhere else, somebody else, someplace else, then that's a sign of hypocrisy. That's a really big sign of hypocrisy. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free of all these vices. Right? And we all have these vices, and inshallah we'll talk about them. Okay? And then it says, he was the truest of people in speech. That's another thing we can embody. How true is my speech? Right? You guys can make a note over there, right? For yourself. How true is my speech? Right? Spend time maybe tonight just reflecting on that. How true is my speech? What percentage of my speech is truth? Right? And we all would know the answer ourselves. Nobody needs to tell you that. No parent needs to tell you that. And that's the purpose of this type of a class. Right? That we want to be able to do some sort of self-reflection. So what we're going to do is we're going to initiate project self-reflection. Sounds so cheesy right now. I just made that up totally. But we usually do this in our classes where we spend maybe 2 minutes. So I want everybody to close their eyes, put their phones away, put their whatever distractions that they have. Just put you can have your book, you can close it, hold it like that so that you know you remember your spot. I need everybody to close their eyes. This is a silent exercise. Okay. And the exercise is you're trying to contemplate on two things. You want to look at some major vices that your heart has that you can right away identify. Think about a time where you feel, close your eyes. Think about a time where your heart displayed some of these dangerous vices. Who might you have hurt? and also in our speeches. Let's take an account for just today. What percentage of my speech was true? And what percentage was otherwise? Do we sometimes lie or say statements that are not absolutely true? Sometimes out of fear of our parents or teachers. Or sometimes to look cool in school. Okay, can I open your eyes, inshallah? We'll start from point number 13 next week. Inshallah, if you guys have any questions about what we covered today, feel free to ask people online. What happened? You need my iPad, okay. If you have any questions about, before you leave, I need you guys to write your name on your book, please. So make sure you have a pen. If you don't have a pen, grab a pen from someone. Grab a qalam or a pen from somebody. If you don't have a pen, I can give you, I think I have a pen. You can borrow a pen, my pen. It's going to break, but I'll try. Allahu Akbar. Okay, we'll stop over here. Do you want to close this, please? Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Please, before you leave, I just write your names and then I will end with a few things, inshallah. Yeah, end that, please. And post it online.
Yeah. Share questions.
There were questions there?
I did not know. So share.
Yeah.
Take this off.
Yeah.
I think if we show up at